Well, we've been studying over the last couple of weeks our journey called Stand Firm about spiritual warfare. And someone once said this, the best defense is actually a good offense. And we've been studying about a great defense, what it means to live with the armor of God, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, shield of faith. And we know that it's the revelation of Jesus. As we stand on our revelation of Christ, the enemy cannot overcome. But what I want to do this morning is look at the next verse. Because after describing this incredible armor of God, there's just one verse we're going to be focusing on today. And it's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, straight after this amazing armor of God. And Paul says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I love this. And pray. I have to confess, once again, here's my confessions. I've always struggled in the area of prayer because I felt I'm not doing enough. I've always felt this is an area of my life. I wish I was better. I wish I was more effective. I wish I prayed more. Kind of an area of my life where I've like, not really powerful in this area. In fact, I don't think I'm alone because most people I speak to, if I actually ask people, if you rated yourself as a prayer out of 10, 10 out of 10 means you pray like Jesus, 0 out of 10 means you don't pray at all. What number would you give yourself? And most people, when I ask them that question, it's like, hey, they look a little bit sheepish and it's probably like a 3 or maybe a 4. That's kind of seems where most people are. And that's certainly where I would have put myself. Then God spoke to me out of this little verse and it impacted me. And I'm really praying it's going to impact you as well. It's a verse about David. Now, I know David as this mighty man. He was a warrior. I know David as the psalm singer. I know David for all these incredible accomplishments as a king. But it says in Psalm 109, verse 4, it says, in return for my friendship, they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer. And as I read that little verse, it struck me that this is an identity statement. I am a man. And it reminded me, I suppose, of the whole identity series that we studied. And remember, the big idea about our identity is that our behavior follows your identity. You're never going to change your behavior without changing your identity. Your behavior will always match up to who you really see yourself as. And I realized then that's the problem. I don't actually see myself as a man of prayer. And when I heard this verse, David saying, I mean, he was so many things, but I'd never seen him as a man of prayer, but that's how he saw himself. And in that moment, I said, yes, Lord, I am a man of prayer. And I want you to take hold of that this morning. No matter how good a prayer you think you are, this is where it's going to start. If you're always telling yourself, oh, I'm not much of a prayer, you're never going to be much of a prayer. But just as a way of introduction, I want us to start here. This, for me, has had the most profound impact. I am a man of prayer. Amen? And it's interesting then he starts off the verse, and he's been talking about the armor of God, the incredible things that this revelation of Jesus is in our lives. And then he says, and pray. I actually spend most of my time pondering that. Because actually recently while I was at Hole in the Wall with a bunch of different pastors, one of the pastors challenged me about having too many ands in your life. I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, the problem with modern society is because of technology and everything that's available, we end up trying to do so many things at the same time. You're spending time with the family and watching TV. You're having a conversation with someone and checking your WhatsApp. You're having a family meal and checking to make sure how the sport's going on the side. And sometimes we can live with too many ands in our lives. We're always trying to do too many things at the same time instead of actually enjoying what's right in front of you. But having said that, I realized this is a biblical and that goes well with everything. And pray. And the beautiful thing about prayer is it actually enhances everything that we do. When you go to work tomorrow, go to work and pray. When you're driving in the car, drive and pray. When you're spending time cooking, cook and pray. This and pray actually brings the invitation of the Holy Spirit into our lives to live by the Spirit. And then no matter what you're doing, while you're having that deep conversation, have the conversation and pray. This is an and that truly changes our lives. Amen? Third introductory comment is, as I've been pondering the book of Acts, I do a lot of teaching from the book of Acts, teaching about base church and early church strategy, structure, all of these things. But one of the things that's been highlighted to me over the last while, it seems that from the book of Acts, when God does something for the first time, He often does it visibly and symbolically so that we can learn what He does every time. Okay, let me explain what I mean. Remember that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and in that moment, there were three dramatic and symbolic signs. It said they heard this wind, like a violent wind blowing, speaking about the breath of God, like Ezekiel who prophesied to the bones, and the breath of God brought them to life, because the Spirit brings life to us. It says, and then tongues of fire came and separated upon them, speaking about the presence of God, because every time the presence of God came down, there was fire that consumed the sacrifice, or the fire of God that came upon the temple, the cloud. And then it says they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It's like when the Tower of Babel, they were separated by their languages, and now in the Spirit, they brought together unity by the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. When we lay hands and pray for someone to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't usually see all those signs happening. But I believe God did them there in the beginning to show us, even though we don't see it physically, we can trust for it happening. Does that make sense? That as I pray for someone to be filled with the Spirit, I'm praying that the breath of heaven would enter them by the Spirit, that the fire of His presence and purity would burn within them, and that they would be enabled by the Spirit of God, drawn into a unity and release of spiritual gifts in their lives. Makes sense? And there's a couple of examples like that. But then it made me re-look at this first prayer meeting that the church had. Here in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And so they prayed these powerful prayers. And then verse 31, it says, after they prayed, three things happened. The place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Isn't that amazing? Now, I have to be honest, we've had a lot of church prayer meetings over the last 24 and a half years, and still I'm waiting for the building to be shaken. I mean, I kind of thought when this wall was up here and we laid hands on that wall, some of you was at our crazy prayer meeting and we were like praying, can't wait for the wall to come down. I have to say I've got mixed emotions, because part of me is like, God, come and shake the building while we pray, but not too much because we've got to do maintenance. And then there's like cracks and all sorts of fix the roof. But what it shows us is this is what God did in the first one to show us symbolically what He does in everyone. And here's what's given me faith. Lord, prayer shakes things. It's very interesting. The building was shaken, but the people weren't. It says the building where they were meeting was shaken. You see, here's the thing. The Bible tells us that once more I will shake the heavens and the earth. And it tells us you are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Isn't that interesting? He shook the building, but not the people. They were of the kingdom. The building wasn't. And here's the thing. Prayer shakes things. It shakes things in our lives so that we begin to see what's kingdom and what's not kingdom. What's not kingdom falls away. What is kingdom stands strong. Sometimes when you pray for people, their lives get worse. And sometimes they get worse because God brings about a shaking to reveal what's kingdom and not kingdom. So that's what's not of the kingdom can fall away so that what is of the kingdom can stand strong. Amen? It's given me a faith to pray. As I pray, Lord, as I'm praying for different things, for our city, for our region, for the nations, God, bring a shaking that what's kingdom would arise and what's not of kingdom would fall away. And said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, prayer releases the life and power of the Holy Spirit to people out there and here. When Jesus spoke about a good father, how much more will your father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And as we pray, the ultimate answer to prayer is a release of the Holy Spirit. Whether you're praying for someone who's sick or someone who's in need or a nation, we're basically saying, please, Holy Spirit, we want to trust. We want to see you released in power to minister to them. It also encourages me because prayer is hard work. It's quite easy to come to church on a Sunday. We can sit and it's air conditioned and hopefully you can sing some songs and receive some ministry. But come to the prayer meeting on Thursday night and it's hard work because you got to do something. Prayer is giving. It's a laboring of the Spirit. When Jesus prayed, he sweated blood because of the intensity of prayer. Prayer is actually hard work. I think it's harder to go to prayer meeting than to gym because prayer meeting should be work. You're engaging your will and your spirit as you pray. But it's encouraging that as they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's given me a great faith to say, Lord, as I labor in prayer, would you come and fill me more than how much is being poured out? Does that make sense? Paul said, I feel like I'm being poured out like a drink offering, but we can trust the Lord. As we pray, we get filled even more than we poured out. And then it says, and they spoke the word of God with great boldness. The very prayer they prayed was answered. And prayer releases power. We got to trust it. We don't always feel it. We don't always see the immediate effects of it, but we can trust that as we pray, prayer releases power in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's have a look at this verse. There's a couple of questions that I want to ask about this verse. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Yeah, the questions I want to ponder. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Does all occasions include what? What about all kinds of prayers and requests? Exactly what does it mean to be alert? And then are we supposed to pray for all of the Lord's people? That's quite a big ask. So let's dive into a few of them. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? And pray in this. Does that mean praying in tongues? I get asked that a lot. Now, to pray in tongues is something that's biblical. This is a heavenly language that God gives. In fact, I believe it's God's will to give this gift to all of the followers of Jesus. Now, maybe you've never prayed in tongues before, but I want to ask you, have you asked God for that gift? Paul, the apostle, he said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. In fact, this has helped me in prayer probably more than anything else. Is sometimes you don't even know what to pray, but you feel sort of a prophetic burden. But learning to pray in tongues is a super helpful enabling of the Holy Spirit, giving you groans and words that cannot be expressed. And I would encourage you to pursue that gift. Ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, would you give me the courage, boldness to begin to speak out these words that you put inside of me? But I don't believe that's what he's talking about. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? When Jesus was asked about worship by the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 23, he said, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit, there it is, and in truth. For they the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. What Jesus was talking about here was a change. At that point, worship was a religious ritual that happened in Jerusalem at the temple. Now he's saying, no, the time has come when the Father's looking for worshipers, not worship, but worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Sometimes it's easier to understand what something is by recognizing what it's not. What's the opposite of worshiping in the spirit? Well, Jesus said in John 3, verse 6, he says, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. So the opposite of praying in the spirit or worshiping in the spirit is worshiping in the flesh. And I think we're all guilty. I think all of us have been guilty at some point. You've come along on a Sunday morning and yeah, they're singing songs and you know that song. You sing along and you're singing, but in your heart, you're fishing or playing golf. Or pondering this or pondering. In other words, there's a disconnect between what your body is doing and what you actually doing. To pray in the Spirit means we're praying submitted and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Religion is about what we do on the outside when your heart is far from it. In the Spirit means it's coming from within. Make sense? Here's my second confession. One of the little habits I've got in life is I've got that app on my phone, the Unreached People Groups of the Day. Every day at 7:03 in the morning, it pops up with a notification on my phone. This is the Unreached People Group of the Day to pray for. Today, it's a northern tribe in Mozambique, and I was praying for that tribe this morning. I have to confess, normally I take about 5 minutes a day, and I've got kind of the 5 points that I pray over the Unreached People Group every day, and I advise you, I encourage you to do the same. But I have found myself sometimes doing it to tick the box. Sort of while I'm doing a whole lot of other things, oh Lord, bless them, please Lord, fill them, help them, strengthen their leaders, tick, done. In other words, I'm doing it kind of as part of the routine, but not actually in the Spirit. Does that make sense? To pray in the Spirit means spiritually we are engaged by the Holy Spirit, surrendered to the Holy Spirit. It's not our body just doing it. It comes from the heart. And I want to say this, 1 to 2 minutes praying in the Spirit is way more effective than an hour praying in the flesh. Because flesh gives birth to flesh. Even good flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. What about all occasions? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Well, what kind of occasions are there for prayer? I'll list a few. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Here's a couple of prayer occasions. Grace. Good start. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless our body. Bless the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tuck in. Well, sometimes a yes, it can become a, and I'm not even mocking you if that's a place to start. That is one occasion. And actually giving thanks is a powerful thing I'm going to mention in a moment. But let me take it hopefully to stretch your occasions. So if your prayer ability at the moment is saying grace at a meal, good start. Now it's time to stretch the boundaries. I would encourage you to stretch it to include morning prayers. Praying in the morning, Jesus woke up early in the morning. He would put time alone just to spend time with the Father. There's a kingdom principle about what you do with the first determines what God does with the rest. Jesus said it in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." That's why with our finance, it's such a good kingdom lifestyle to put God first in your finance, because we believe what we do first with our finance will determine what God does with the rest of it. Every great man or woman of God that I've ever spoken to or studied who counted for God had this habit in their lives. They had a dedicated time in the morning that they'd set aside just for the Lord. Now, for me, that typically would look like about 20 minutes and sometimes longer if I hopefully have that time, just to spend time reading through some scripture, getting on my knees and spending some time with the Lord. I would encourage you, another occasion is to learn to end the day in evening prayer. This is one of the areas I'm growing in. Well, even if it's as you get in bed at night, instead of counting sheep, pray for sheep. I mean, I'm a pastor, but just to take a moment and just reflect and say, thank you, Lord. As you go through your day, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for what you, and he might remind you of some people at that time to pray for. It's a great way, calming yourself, connecting with the Lord. You'll probably sleep a whole lot better. Another occasion to stretch the boundaries is corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is understanding in the kingdom of God that 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. In the kingdom of God, 1 + 1 equals about 5. In other words, I could pray for something. Selvin, you could pray for something. But if we came together in agreement praying, it would be 5 times more effective. Make sense? And there's something, because we are the body of Christ, standing together as a body multiplies the effectiveness of our prayers. And Matthew 18, verse 19, again, "Truly I tell you that if 2 of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Church, I would encourage you. Thursday evenings, 5:45, 6:45, we pray. And it is inconvenient because you've got a household and you need to prepare meals, and you've got young kids, and if you come from Merensier, you've got traffic to fight for trying to get into Birdswood, and it's hard work, and, but it's effective and powerful. Church, I would encourage you to make corporate prayer, prayer meeting, part of your lifestyle. People can get up at 4 a.m. in the morning to go to gym. I say then you can come at 5:45 on a Thursday evening and come and join in the collective. Add your prayers so that we as a church can become more and more powerful. There's another form of prayer. Another occasion is crisis. What happens in a crisis? Well, Christians in crisis gather together and pray. That's why we've got hospital ministry teams, and they pray, we pray. And I want to show you, even in Scripture, Acts 12, verse 5, Peter was kept in prison. And James had been put in prison, and he'd been executed. So now Peter was put in prison, and guess what everyone was expecting? But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. I love that. That was the response of the church. In crisis, we pray. And out of that, Peter was miraculously released. And then there's another form of occasion. I'm trying to stretch those boundaries. Probably one of the most powerful occasion is what I'll call continual prayer. That's the kind of prayer that doesn't have a Our Father at the beginning and doesn't have an Amen at the end. What it is fellowship with the Holy Spirit through the day. There's a verse that's helped me so much in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to, I like the older version that said, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I wish that I could measure the effectiveness of my life in those times when I'm consciously fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, what do I do here? How do I say this? Holy Spirit, what decision should I make here? Holy Spirit, help me with this. Versus the other times when I'm just doing my own thing. Because when we do it consciously dependent on the Holy Spirit, it just releases fruit and effectiveness. Very quickly, I want to land with just mentioning a couple of, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. I want you to realize prayer is a beautiful thing that we can keep growing in. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 and 2, I urge then first of all that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. I want you to notice there's a diversity to the way we pray. Let me quickly mention some of them. When the Bible speaks about devote yourself to prayer, that word actually is the word place of prayer. As opposed to what I've just said in terms of continual prayer, walking with the Holy Spirit, there is something called the place of prayer. Daniel was an amazing example. Three times a day, he would go open the window to Jerusalem on his knees, pray. It was his place of prayer. If you've ever watched War Room, that great Christian movie, if you haven't, I encourage you to watch it. It's a beautiful example of an old granny who was like a master prayer. And she had her place of prayer. This is her prayer cupboard. He has her lists up on the wall. And she took prayer seriously. It was her place of prayer. A place of prayer is generally kind of on your knees or this chair, this time. This is where I do business with God. Have a place of prayer. It speaks about petitions. Petitions are requests. That in some ways is your list of intentional, Lord, I'm praying for breakthrough in these areas. It could be specific needs or specific things you're praying for and you want to be held accountable. Here's the list. I'm praying it through and I'm trusting for breakthrough. It speaks about thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not just about being polite to God. You know, don't forget your pleases and thank yous. Thanksgiving actually carries great significance in the kingdom of God. When you thank God for something, you sanctify it. In other words, if you're thanking God for something, you're recognizing that it comes from God and it's kind of in the God camp. This is under God in your life. Let me give you an example. When Jesus broke bread to feed the 5,000, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and then he broke it. Lord, this is set apart. This is now dedicated to you. For me, this is very practical and real. Because if something is received with thanksgiving, it's sanctified. In Pakistan, when they give us food, thanksgiving is required. But some of it is dodgy. Lord, I'm giving you thanks for this, because if it's received with thanksgiving, it's made clean. But the heart of what we thank God for is separated unto the Lord. That's why thanksgiving is a powerful form of prayer. And then intercession. Intercession is carrying people in your heart. And friends, we have access to the throne of our Father in heaven, and we need to use that access well to intercede for family members, to intercede for the church, to intercede for people that God lays on our heart. George Muller was a famous, incredible man of prayer. He opened a bunch of orphanages in England. As a man of prayer, apparently he had a list of 50 people that he was praying for their salvation. He interceded, I think probably daily, for their salvation. And during his life, 49 of them gave their lives to Christ. And at his funeral, so did the 50th. See, this is about faithfully interceding for people before the Lord. Let me land with this one. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. What does it mean to be alert? I actually get asked. I was asked this last week while I was in Brazil. The translator lady, she said to me, is it dangerous living in South Africa? People see a whole lot of stuff on the news. And so, is it dangerous to live in South Africa? And I told her about the lions on our streets and all of these kind of things. I said, I suppose technically it probably is, but the people of South Africa have learned to live alert. We know this is a country that's got a high crime rate, and so you live with a level of awareness. We don't leave our cars unlocked. I get, like, you go to nations sometimes that are super safe, and people just, like, close the door of their car, walk away. I'm like, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Please just lock it. I'll just feel better if the car's locked. You know, they carry their valuables close because you just carry your valuables close. You lock your house at night and you close the gate. And there's some places you just don't go at night because it's not wise to go there at night alone. In other words, you just subconsciously, you've learned to live alert in this nation. And so when you travel to other nations now, you're probably a good tourist because you know you're traveling wise because you've learned to live alert. Now, what about in the kingdom of God? You see, to be alert means we've learned to live with the recognition we have an enemy out there. We have an enemy who's looking for an opportunity to get us to take offense against someone. We have an enemy who's looking for a little door of discontentment, because then he's going to bring temptation. We have an enemy who's looking to try and bring division by offering a little piece of gossip that we could just start chewing on. We've learned to live alert. A little bit of fear, if he could get that fear to take hold of your heart. To be alert means we live with that same level of, I know there's an enemy out there. I'm not focused on him. I'm not living in fear of him. I'm just alert to him. And prayer helps us in every one of those situations to then walk in victory. And pray. That's what I want us to. If we're going to stand firm, the best way to stand firm is on your knees. Because it's in prayer that we advance the kingdom. In prayer, it shakes kingdom things, unkingdom things, brings about a separation. In prayer, it releases the Holy Spirit. In prayer, it releases power. My question is, do you see yourself as a man or woman of prayer? I'm praying, trusting that revelation will so grip our hearts that out of an identity of a man or woman of prayer, we'll live lives of prayer. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Why don't you stand with me, please?